Have y'all been enjoying coming out to church every night? Well, we have Tuesday, then we can say Wednesday. We'll see what God will do. Amen. Doesn't matter to me. Brother Brett, would you like to give that little testimony you was going to give for us before we start? I don't know about you, but I just think it's wonderful coming here every night and just sitting in the presence of the Lord. It just does something for your whole life, doesn't it?
We had a person contact the church for an online deliverance, and it was really interesting because...
Where was this person from?
They were from South Korea.
Okay.
Which is, yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. The website is really getting out to a lot of different people in a lot of different countries. And so this one was sort of like an evangelist that was traveling. She's been to many different countries. And
she tell them what her job was. Tell them what her job was.
Oh, yeah. Her job before she got in the ministry was she worked for Wall Street for some 20 years. And she was in the stocks and bonds exchange and everything.
Making beaucoup money.
Yeah, six-digit figure salary. And God told her to up and leave her job and everything and go straight into the ministry, and she did. So God has been blessing her this whole time. And with the time zone difference and everything, you know, we worked out a schedule, and she got set free. God met her all the way over there in South Korea and set her free from all kinds of bondages and spirits. So it was such an awesome opportunity to be able to reach out that far. You know, God reaching out that far and to just participate in that was absolutely amazing. God is awesome.
Tell them how she came to get, that's our Skype.
Yeah, she was searching for a ministry that did deliverance over Skype, and she was looking through different results. She said she found quite a few, but none of them sat right with her, and God told her that's the one when she got to the Lighthouse Church website. So glory to God on that. It's just totally awesome.
And she had a list.
And she had a list of 8 or 10 points of things that she wanted to address in that session, problems she was having. And God didn't even give her the chance to show that. He met her on every point, and she was really ecstatic, showing the notebook. I had these points, and God nailed them all before she could even convey them to the team. So it was really, really awesome. God met her. He knew everything beforehand. He met her where she was at. And it was just 100% Holy Spirit awesomeness.
Amen. I think it's neat whenever... She said she knows how to get herself, keep herself free, but what was it, Brent? Get the microphone again. What was it? She's an evangelist, so she's out there in foreign countries.
And she said she knows about deliverance and how to set herself free, but... There was a principality over South Korea that's specific function and design was to unload spirits of suicide, death, confusion, and a fogginess, a heaviness. So she knew what to do, but she couldn't quite break through. So she just had to reach out for help in the body. So even, you know, it just shows even if you know what you're doing, you still need to reach out to the body. No matter how much you know, you have to reach out when you're in trouble.
And when Brother Brett called me, I was sitting there studying, it excited me. And then when he told me about how she found our site, the Holy Spirit was all over me and it was all over him, and we were just excited. This is their second Skype. Was the other one from overseas too, or no? Or where was it? Where was it? It wasn't in New Jersey. But new thing, moving forward, upward, onward. There's a lot of people out there that need a deliverance and don't know where to go or don't, you know, or anything. And so the Skype, you know, on there is really doing wonders. Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight for the testimony about the deliverance today. And we also thank you, Father God, that you're letting our website be seen all over the world. And Father, we just thank you and praise you and give you honor and glory for all that you're doing and have done. And tonight, Father God, this bunch is wild for you. And so, Father God, I'm just asking you to meet them in a special way tonight. They're excited and they're exuberant. And I know that you love that, Father. So, Father, I just thank you ahead of time that you've already come. You already know each and every need. And you're already meeting those needs. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God told me today after we got through talking to Brett, he said, everything you touch is anointed. So we know that everything we do here in the church, you know, through the lighthouse is anointed. And God said, I promise you I'll be with you no matter what you do. And he said, this is proof to you that I'm with you. And he also told me the other day, he said, the more things that you bring out, it's going to become more work. So the more projects we start, it's going to be more work, and we're going to be more busy for the Lord than we've ever been. Amen. So get ready, because God said we're going to work for him full time. I just think this is just a foretaste of what it's going to be. And I said, I need a maid. Because, you know, I said to God, I said, evangelists, when they go out on the road, they just sit and study. And that's all I've been doing, studying. So I can't even hardly walk through my bedroom right now. Everything just piling everywhere. But I just want you all to be encouraged tonight that God really is moving. And he's moving mightily. And he's moving quickly. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. So whatever he's doing in your life, I want you really to be in tune to his voice, because he's going to be giving you instructions on what to do, how to do, and when to do. All right? We're talking about a few new programs too, but I said, let's get this revival over with first. I got too much on my plate, and I can't eat it all, right? Tonight I want to teach on brokenness, the process of brokenness. Because a lot of us are going through it, more are going to be going through it. And Aaron, have you all decided, which one's Aaron? This is Aaron, right? Have you decided to move to Delaware? So see, God's moving. I thought about you too today, and I said, well, I don't know what you're going to do with them, Lord, but you're moving them here, so. Yeah. It's to work for the Lord. And, you know, God's moving people all around. And we don't know what he's going to do, but we just have to just let him do, you know. Because there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom of God. There really is a lot of programs that need to be done. And we haven't had the people to do them, but God's bringing the people in. And we're going to get them done. All right, I'm coming from the scripture today of Matthew 16:21-28. Now, everybody wants a blessed life, but nobody wants the blessed life the way God gives it, through a broken life. But before God can thoroughly bless a person, he must thoroughly break that person from his own self-reliance. Y'all get that? When we refer to brokenness, we are not talking about people running around in sackcloth and ashes. Neither are we referring to those who climb stone stairs on their knees to try to impress God. We are referring to a state of the heart that dwells in humility before the Lord. It is a heart that sees itself just as it is, and it also sees the Lord as he is. It is a heart that sees itself. This is a heart of humility. It is a heart that sees itself just as it is, and it also sees the Lord as he is. It is simply a state of openness and honesty before the Lord. It is being in a position where the Lord can use you for his glory. For the Christian, it is being moldable and yielding to the Lord. For the lost sinner, it is being in a place where you see your own need and are willing to turn to the Lord to get that need met. For the lost sinner, it is being in a place where you see your own need and are willing to turn to the Lord to get that need met. But as a Christian, we have to be moldable and yielded. And I know, including me, there's some of us in tonight, we're going through this broken thing and being remolded and reshaped into the image of Christ. Because with what God's doing, there's change. And he can't use us the way we were. So he had to smash us down and remold us and remake us so we're stronger. And so we have in us what we need for the future. So being broken is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God wants the best for you. He wants to do something great in and with and through your life. Someone once said, before God can use a man greatly, he must wound him deeply. How many consider and say that's very true in your life right now tonight? Before you can bless, you must bleed. Before you can help, you must first hurt. I don't know about you, when I was putting this together, it just spoke to my life all over the place. And I'm hoping it speaks to your life tonight, too. Oswald Chambers was right when he said, if we are ever going to be made into wine, we will have to be crushed. You cannot drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they have been squeezed. Isn't that awesome? There is a clear pattern in the Bible that teaches us that brokenness precedes greatness. Before Abraham became the father of many nations, he and Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by an angel in a wrestling match. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and falsely imprisoned. Before Job's estate was doubled, he lost everything he had, including his family, his fortune, and his future. Are you listening to all these things? Before Moses became the great deliverer, he lost his position, his possessions, and his popularity. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he went through the wilderness. Before Samson crushed the Philistines, he was blinded, binded, and grinded. I want you to really listen to what went on to God's people in the Bible. Before David became king, he was renounced by his family. Before David became king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. Before Daniel could be used mightily, he had to spend the night in a lion's den. Before Hosea became a powerful spokesman for God, his wife betrayed him and returned to prostitution. Before Peter preached 3,000 souls into the kingdom, he denied his Savior 3 times and went out and wept bitterly. Before Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, he was blinded on the Damascus Road. Why are you fussing about your brokenness? God is going to do something great to us all. He really is. Watchman Nee said, our spirit is released according to the degree of our brokenness. The one who has accepted the most discipline is the one who can best serve. The more one is broken, the more sensitive he is. Can't we all say amen to that? Oswald Chambers commented, when God gets us alone through suffering, heartbreak, temptation, disappointment, sickness, or by thwarted desires, a broken friendship or a new friendship, when he gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then he begins to teach us. I want all this to soak into your spirit tonight. Sometimes God sees that our life is a mess and he breaks us so that he can remake us. This lesson all came out of me crying out to God, what are you doing with me? So maybe have you been crying to God, what are you doing with me? If not, you might. Jeremiah 18:4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. God's going to do with you whatever he wants to do with you if you're crying out to him. The songwriter expressed a proper attitude we should have during the times when we are broken. And we sing this song, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. You know, one time God told me, these people don't even know what they're even singing. And I believe when we sing this, we don't even know what we're even singing. Because if people smack you right down the middle of that song, you say, you have a problem, God? You know? Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. The potter is able to mend the broken vessel and use it for his own purposes and pleasure. The path of brokenness begins with the birth, followed by the death, but the eventual resurrection of God's desire and intentions. You know, the path of brokenness begins with the birth, and I think about you people come in here and I put you in a position to do something, you get all excited and carry on, you know, do your thing, but then something comes in there to flaw it, and then it's the path of brokenness begins with the birth, which is that, and then it's followed by the death, and that's whenever God makes you sit down and so he can smack you around a little bit and remold and remake you. But the eventual resurrection of God's desire and intentions. Eventually, God then raises us back up again and says, you're ready now. You've been through the furnace, been reshaped, remolded, refired, and now you're ready to go forth again. God has been in the breaking business all through the Bible. The purpose of brokenness is, number one, to bring us to spiritual maturity, and number two, to allow us to engage us in maximum ministry. Number one, to bring us to spiritual maturity, and number two, to allow us to engage us in maximum ministry. The definition of brokenness. Brokenness is the condition whereby our will is brought into full submission to his will, so that when he speaks, we put up no argument, make no rationalizations, offer no excuses, and register no blame, but instead instantly obey the leading of the Holy Spirit as he guides us. Would you like me to read that again? Brokenness is the condition whereby our will is brought into full submission to God's will, so that when he speaks, we put up no argument, make no rationalizations, offer no excuses, and register no blame, but instead instantly obey the leading of the Holy Spirit as he guides us. All right? Brokenness is not just a condition. It is also a process, a very predictable, planned process from God's viewpoint. God plans us all out. When we are the ones being broken, it is chaotic and confusing. It is painful and puzzling. God is in the very center of our circumstances, accomplishing his purpose, which is spiritual maturity and maximum ministry. How does God break us from living like unbelievers live? Depending on their five senses and their corrupt minds, their warped wills and their easily influenced emotions. This is how unbelievers live. How does God break us from that? Believers and only believers have an inner man that is meant to control the outer man. The life of Simon Peter in the gospel provides a great example of God's breaking process. Number one, the process of brokenness is planned. Too many of us, our spiritual life is a huge mystery. We see it as only something spontaneous rather than something calculated, thought out, and planned out. We think the devil's the only one that does that. But he got that from God. Think how this plan came together for Peter. First, Christ chooses his disciples, and one of them was Peter. And the one that Jesus had the most problems with was Peter. But Christ saw what he could do in and through this man. God sees what he can do in and through everybody sitting in this room tonight. A man who had more hang-ups than Heinz has pickles. Christ knew with his touch. I try to think of something different to say, but that's what I always say. All right, Christ knew with his touch. Now listen, this is what he's doing to you. Christ knew with his touch, the blow of the chisel here, and the heavenly sandpaper there, Peter could be used to the glory of God. So does he have his chisel, his sandpaper out tonight on all of us? I believe so. If you will cooperate with God as you walk through the breaking process, he will shape you into a servant that resembles his son. Christ's plan was to zero in on what seemed to be Peter's strength. Matthew 16:16-18. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Jesus asked him, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think I am?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, God said all this to him, but now we'll see what happened to him before he became the rock. All right? Peter spoke up this time with the right answer. Jesus pointed out to Peter that he didn't come up with that conclusion by himself. God had revealed it to him. You think your old ego is going there and you think you know it all, but God's going to let you know who really told you. Matthew 16:21, Jesus began to prepare his men for his death. Then in Matthew 16:22, Peter butts in. Why, you're not going to do anything of the sort. You're not going to be the son. You're not going to be the Son of God and have a bunch of men treat you that way. We're going to take care of you. How many know it is he that takes care of us and not the other way around? Here's Peter still spouting off. Peter was a man of tremendous strength, potential, and determination. But Peter was not responding from a spirit level, but from a soulish level. His will said, no, you won't die. His emotion said, I'm too loyal. I love you too much to see that happen. His reason said, none of this makes any sense. Matthew 16:23a, but he turned and said, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter, you are an offense unto me. Peter was his most outspoken, loyal disciple. It must have crushed Peter. Peter had just had the tremendous spiritual revelation in verse 18, and now he had a soulish revelation that was diametrically opposite. The first came from heaven, the last came from hell. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? While Jesus said this to all his disciples, the primary target was Peter, because of everything Peter just said. Peter had the bright idea that Jesus would raise up an army and wipe out Rome and set up an earthly kingdom. No, Peter, you must be willing to die also. Each one of us in here, we have to be willing to go through that broken state with God, and that's when we die. The process of brokenness is perpetual. Many people have the idea that if we have one giant whopper of a breaking, that it will last a lifetime. I have news for you. You better keep the bandages handy. Brokenness is a perpetual process, a process to keep us broken from self-reliance, self-glorification, and self-seeking. Take it from somebody who's been there. It's not going to happen just once. If you haven't gone through the breaking process, hang on, you're overdue. Our strong points can be our weak points because we allow them to marginalize God. Someone said ego is edging God out. Isn't that neat? Edging God out. Every step of the way, Peter was being broken. In Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Here's this big, brave Peter, right? He was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter could have walked all the way on that water. Peter's faith was broken. If it is you, bid me come. That's serious spirit thinking. But verse 30, Peter slipped into his soulish senses and sank. Here is Peter, bold, courageous, loyal, fearless, and determined, and he nearly drowned, wiped out, and buried at sea. come on, ego people in here. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. But surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Peter's rights were broken. You know, Peter, he didn't want slapped one time, let alone that. Peter's rights were broken. How oft? Seven times? No, 70 times seven. Not 490, but on and on and on. This totally shattered the old Peter who had his limits. God's going to do the same thing to you and I. Matthew 19:27. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Peter's expectations were broken. What shall we have? Jesus said, more than you deserve and more than you can imagine. John 13:4. Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter's pride was broken. Thou shalt never wash my feet. And suddenly, in Matthew 26:51, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. So anyhow, back here, I must have missed something. Peter's pride was broken. Thou shalt never wash my feet. So what did Peter say? Give me a bath then. You know? I didn't put that scripture down. All right, so here in Matthew 26, Peter's wisdom was broken because Peter cut the guy's ear off. Peter drew his sword. Great plan, Peter. Jesus said, put up the sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. In Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. How many of us have said, God, I'll never do what they just did? Matthew 26:70, but he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter's self-confidence was broken. Broken, Peter goes out weeping like a baby. So you see all the different things that God's doing to him. John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Peter's self-professed love was broken. Lovest thou me? Jesus asked him three times. And he said, you know all things. So His self-professed love was broken because Jesus had asked him that three times. He was grieved. He was broken. At every turn, Peter was put down, embarrassed, silenced, and humiliated. Are you listening? And this is one of God's favorite disciples. Why doesn't God let up on us? God works to strip from our lives that which we depend upon so that we will depend on Him. Our love, God loves us too much to let us be our selfish self. He has bigger and better things for us. Number three, the process of brokenness is painful. Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. See, David knew it was good for him. The process of brokenness is painful because of what brokenness targets. It targets the old man, the self-life, our soulish dependence. Our old man doesn't like to be exposed as helpless, hopeless, and hellish. Most believers know what God is targeting to break in our lives. Each one of us in here tonight, we know exactly what we are doing that we shouldn't do. And that thing is what God is going to use to break us. So if He hasn't already started on that, we'll pray for you when you go through it. We know what is grieving the Holy Spirit. We know what is quenching the Holy Spirit. The process of brokenness is painful because brokenness takes time. The process of brokenness is painful because of the tools God uses to break us. You can use your family. God may use a wife to break a husband to break a wife, parents to break a child to break a parent, friend to break a friend. The real laboratory of life is the home. The home is where the real you is. God may use your children to expose your flaws, your inconsistencies, and your selfishness. Are you listening to this? Flesh. God can touch our health to get our attention. You have heard of many medical problems that cannot be diagnosed. All sickness is God's hand of breaking, but all sickness is a time to draw near to God. How many of us, when we're sick, that's when we really go to God crying out, don't let me die. We do all kind of stuff. Finances, God can hit us where it hurts, a shot at our pocketbooks. Friends, there are people God will put in your life who dare to be honest with you. Failure, God can wipe out our huge egos with personal failure. Amen. God's most powerful tool is His Word. Jeremiah 23:29 calls God's word a hammer and a fire in Jeremiah 5:14. It is also a sword in Hebrews 4:12 and a bright light in Psalm 119:105. God's most powerful tool is His word. Jeremiah 23:29 calls God's word a hammer, and Jeremiah 5:14 calls God's word a fire. And Hebrews 4:12 calls God's word a sword, and Psalm 119:105 calls it a bright light. This is one reason why people consistently stay away from church services. The word literally tears them up. God uses the word to break us, and you will not be broken until we can discern between what is soul and what is spirit. And you will not be broken until you can discern between what is soul and what is spirit. Let's make a clarification about a couple of things that may or may not be tools used by God that people may wonder about. Death. Does God take another person's life to get our attention? No. But it will often result in that. It will get our attention when somebody dies. It is not in God's nature to take the life of someone to make a point, because God loves both people. Sin. Does God cause a person to sin to bring about another submission to God? Example, does God get a teenager on drugs to get parents to fall on their face before God? God is not the author of sin. No, He doesn't do that. God will take advantage of our sins and disobedience to bring about His purpose to confront us and change us. The process of brokenness is precise. God knows everything about every one of us and knows how to precisely measure our breaking. And what a great God He is, from person to person, He orders our breaking. Our breaking will last no longer than it takes for us to finally surrender. Remember, God told me you can go around this mountain as often as you want, And when you're finished going around, I'll be standing there waiting on you. So our breaking will last no longer than it takes for us to finally surrender. Any resistance on our part will prolong the process, so our willingness to yield shortens it. I'm tired of this, God. Well, then, yield. The only thing that you can determine in the process of brokenness is how long you will postpone the inevitable, because God will have his way. I guarantee you, God will have his way. Those who resist God long enough are not destroyed. Rather, they generally are shelved. They are ignored. They remain unused. They stagnate at their current level of growth and spiritual immaturity. They remain in their flawed state. God can't use them. That concept of being shelved is a Bible concept. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul expressed the dreaded thought of becoming a castaway, meaning rejected or disqualified, not from salvation, but from any earthly usefulness. Let's read that again. That concept of being shelved is a Bible concept. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul expressed the dreaded thought of becoming a castaway, meaning rejected, then this is by God, or disqualified, not from salvation, but from any earthly usefulness. The last thing Peter wanted to do was give up the control of his life. He wanted to do it his way. Brokenness is God's purpose of bringing us to the place where we humbly say, Lord, I get it now. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? It's all about you. It's not about me. Peter would later write in his first epistle, God, in 1 Peter 5:5, he wrote, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Peter had lived the first part and was now enjoying the last part. You hear that? Whenever you're trying to do it your way, you're never really happy and content. Number five, the process of brokenness is profitable. The best things for all of us is to be broken by the loving hand of God. It is productive. It is profitable. Say that again. The best things for all of us is to be broken by the loving hand of God. It is productive. It is profitable. How can we be sure of that? Well, did it do Peter any good? Did he continue to live as he had always lived? Was he always a spiritual yo-yo, up and down, up and down? Was he ever changed? What is our proof of the profitability of brokenness? Remember, God's purpose for brokenness is maturity and ministry. How did that work out for Peter? Maturity is never fully accomplished, but Peter was much more grown up than when he first met Jesus. In Acts 4:13, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When we start looking and behaving more like Jesus than ourselves, we are headed in the direction of spiritual maturity. Jesus could now be seen in Peter. What an accomplishment, a job only God could do. As far as ministry was concerned, Peter was the leader of the pack. After all that he had been and all that he had done, most of it not good, God assigned Peter the ministry task of preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He loved Peter. He was spirit-empowered, preached Christ, and 2,000 turned to Jesus and were baptized. And the very next day after this record event at Pentecost, Peter and John are headed to the temple to pray in Acts 3:1. That tells me volumes about Peter. He's no longer depending on himself. While Peter takes up the first half of the book of Acts, it's not the old Peter doing the work. It's the new Peter, the broken Peter. In our text, we were presented with a man by the name of Peter. This man was a powerful, prideful man until he was broken by the Lord. When God brought him down, he repented before the Lord and God blessed him. The thing that lacked in Peter's life is also sadly lacking in the lives of us today. That thing is a spirit of brokenness before the Lord. You might ask, what is so important about being broken before the Lord? The importance lies in the fact that God uses that which is broken in a greater way than that which is rigid and unyielding to his will. The importance lies in the fact that God uses that which is broken in a greater way than that which is rigid and unyielding to his will.